Stay tuned for more Jazz America with me, Russ Davis.
From Washington,
right after the news,
this
on
is VOA News. I'm Steve Norman reporting, topping the news, changes in Yemen. Senior U.S. security officials say U.S. counterterrorism operations have been suspended in Yemen following the collapse of the U.S.-backed government. U.S. forces have worked alongside Yemeni security personnel in monitoring al-Qaeda on the Arabian Peninsula, but much of that intelligence operation, now controlled by the Shiite rebels known as the Houthis, they seized key government installations on Thursday and forced out the government. Saudi Arabia's new king, Salman, says he will continue the policies of his half-brother, the late King Abdullah, who was buried Friday in the capital. King Abdullah died earlier in the day, former Arab League chief Amr Musa.
King Abdullah had the image of a father figure in the Arab world and the Muslim world. And he did a lot for the stability and the cooperation, the promotion of cooperation among the Arab countries. His role in establishing peace between and putting an end to the Arab-Israeli conflict and the Palestinian-Israeli feud was instrumental.
King Abdullah was believed to have been 90 years old when he died early on Friday. He had recently been admitted to the hospital for a lung infection. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry going to Nigeria to meet with the country's two leading presidential candidates and to urge that next month's elections be free and fair. This year's elections complicated by the rise of the militant group Boko Haram, which has killed thousands of people in the Northeast. This is VOA News. The African Union summit kicked off on Friday in Ethiopia's capital, and Marta Vanderwolf was there.
Hundreds of meetings will be held within the next week in Addis Ababa. The official theme of the African Union Summit is women's empowerment and development, and among the topics that will most likely dominate are the fight against Ebola and elections in 2015. But as usual, peace and security issues, such as the violent attacks from Nigerian militant group Boko Haram, will top the agenda. Deputy Chairperson of the African Union Commission, Erastus Mwencha, says that further action depends on the requests from the regional countries during the summit.
If you look at the heinous crimes that are being committed by Boko Haram, if you see the extent to which it is now spreading its tentacles to other parts of the region beyond Nigeria, it calls for intervention.
A special regional summit on South Sudan's conflict will also be held on the sidelines of the AU meeting. Marta van der Wolf for VOA News, Addis Ababa.
World Health Organization reporting a steep decline of Ebola cases in Guinea, Sierra Leone, and Liberia. Bruce Elward is the WHO Assistant Director General in charge of the Ebola operational response. He says this probably represents the lowest number of cases seen in a three-week period over the last 3 or 4 months.
So this is a real substantive reduction. We, for the first time now, have seen a week-on-week reduction in the number of cases for the last 4 weeks. And that's the first time across all three countries we've been seeing that trend.
Aylward, who just returned from West Africa, said it's the first time the Ebola-affected countries have truly been in the position to stop the outbreak, which has killed thousands. Top rebel leader in eastern Ukraine says there will be no further peace talks with Kiev. He says his fighters are advancing against Ukraine combat troops seizing control of a long-contested airport. U.S. Assistant Secretary of State Roberta Jacobson has wrapped up a visit to Havana, saying her talks there mark an important step forward.
We also address continuing areas of deep disagreement between the United States and Cuba. This includes our concern about progress in the areas of freedom of expression and human rights.
This week's meetings in Havana come a month after President Obama and Cuban President Raul Castro announced the two countries were prepared to normalize relations. Ernie Banks, the two-time Hall of Famer who never lost his enthusiasm for baseball despite years of playing on the losing Chicago Cubs team, has died. He was 83.
That's the latest world news from VOA.
Welcome to another hour of the best of jazz, past and present, and conversation with our special guest, birthday boy Gary Burton. He turned 72 years old on the 23rd of January, and we're celebrating. This is Russ Davis, and I am pleased that you're joining me for this hour of Jazz America so we can celebrate the master of the vibes, Gary Burton. Now, here is another of the greats of jazz history who also takes those mallets and beats on things with great results, a vibes player I'm talking about, Bobby Hutcherson, who, by the way, also celebrates his birthday this month on the 27th of January. The great Bobby Hutcherson, the man they call the Wizard of Montara, is going to be 74 years old. So happy birthday to him. And speaking of the Wizard of Montara, that's the name of the song you're just about to hear in homage to Bobby Hutcherson, written and recorded by the great Christian McBride. Montara, by the way, is the beautiful seacoast town in Northern California where Bobby Hutcherson lives. So let's enjoy Christian McBride with a salute to Bobby Hutcherson, the Wizard of Montara, to begin this hour of music on VOA's Jazz America.
Thank you.
wonderful vocalist with a very modern style who hails from the wonderful nation of Poland. Beata Potter is her name, and from her album titled Red, that's her version of Herbie Hancock's classic Butterfly. Very electric, very rhythmic, very 21st century jazz. This is Jazz America, and this is Russ Davis, hoping you're enjoying a chance to get to know Gary Burton a little bit better as we celebrate his 72nd birthday on this edition of Jazz America. Now, he has a lot to celebrate in his glorious career, including winning 7 Grammy Awards. I asked him at a panel at the Detroit Jazz Festival with a number of other Grammy winners with him on the panel to remember what it was like when he won his very first Grammy Award. And then we'll hear a cut from one of his latest Grammy Awards, the album Like Minds, with Chick Corea, Roy Haynes, Pat Metheny, and Dave Holland.
Gary, you've won a bunch. Give me some thoughts about that first one.
Okay,
that special
feeling. I'm about 20 years older than these two guys. And so my experience started a little earlier, before there was the actual telecast of the Grammy Awards. I don't know what year they first started doing that. Lisa probably knows, but maybe not. It was maybe in the late 70s or the 80s or something. Before that, the awards were presented both in New York and L.A. simultaneously and so on. So, and I've been lucky, frankly, to win a Grammy or two in every decade since the 70s. And, you know, hopefully I'll keep on. Anyway,
here, here.
That first one is a pretty interesting story. I was in Boston where I lived, and I got a call from George Benson, who was working at a club in Boston. And he said, you know, the Grammys are this week, and I'm up for an award, and I'm going to be there. I might win it. So the club owner told me it was okay to call you, and if your band is available, could you fill in for that night? Hmm. And I checked with the guys, and I said, yes, we're available. So I said, okay, we'll play that night for you, and he went to the Grammys. About a month later, my manager called me and said, you come over to the office tomorrow when you get a chance. There's something I need to show you. And I walked in, and there was a box on his desk. He said, open the box. And there was a Grammy in there. And I said, well, what? It says there's a Grammy for, in a new category called Best Solo Performance. Wow. In fact, the year before, Bill Evans won it. And this year, I won it. I didn't even know I was nominated.
Wow.
And the award came. At that point, I decided I better pay closer attention to what was going on with the Grammys. And from then on, I did. But that was the history of my first Grammy. I didn't even know I was nominated, and it was still a huge thrill, I got to tell you.
The name Bill Evans and the name Gary Burton in the same sentence.
Well,
that's some heavy stuff, isn't it? That felt good, didn't it?
Yeah. Sure.
Thank you.
Gary Burton and his esteemed guests and friends joining with him, Roy Haynes on the drums, Dave Holland on the bass, Chick Corea on piano, and on the guitar, Pat Metheny, longtime friend and associate of Gary Burton. He gave Pat Metheny one of his first big jobs years ago. That is the title cut from Like Minds, Grammy Award-winning work from Gary Burton. I hope you enjoyed his story about his first Grammy Award. And as he mentioned, Bill Evans, the great pianist, won the award the year before him. Let's enjoy some Bill Evans right now with his trio, live from the mid-1960s in Sausalito, California, with How Deep Is the Ocean on Jazz America from VOA 1. The great Bill Evans Trio, recorded live in Northern California, Sausalito to be specific, in 1964 from the album Bill Evans Trio Live and How Deep is the Ocean. Hope you enjoyed that. I've got more coming up in our celebration of the 72nd birthday and the incredible life and career of Gary Burton here on Jazz America. But first, I want to invite you to send me an email if you have a question, a comment, or maybe request for music. Whatever the case may be, I'd love to hear from you, and here is the email address to which you can write me. I'll give it to you twice, so write it down and get in touch. It's jazzamerica@voanews.com. That's jazzamerica, the two words written as one word, @ voanews.com. jazzamerica@voanews.com. And here's a message I've received from a long-time and very loyal Jazz America listener. He is James Stack. He lives in Hunters Hill, Australia, and he gets in touch quite often with comments about each week's program. And here's one that he wrote me right at the end of 2014 after enjoying the special show we did in celebration of the great Art Blakey. He said, "Russ, Art Blakey was a superb teacher. Art Blakey and his pupils have a legacy." James Stack. Well, James, you are absolutely right about that. I could go on and on and on with a major list of fantastic artists from various generations who worked with Art Blakey and went to what I call the University of Art Blakey. And one of them is the great trombonist Curtis Fuller. I want to give you the title cut from his solo album with his own young band. He's been quite a teacher himself. It's called Down Home. It's from 2012. Curtis Fuller and some of his latest work here on VOA's Jazz America as we celebrate another of the pupils of the great Art Blakey.
Thank you. it's healed. When you sigh, never in my woodland could there be ways to reveal in a phrase how I feel. Have you ever heard two turtle doves, Bill and Goo, when they love? That's the kind of magic music we make with our lips when we kiss.
Once again, that jazz in the 21st century is absolutely an international art form. That is a trio from Tampa Bay in Florida that call themselves La Lucha. And the three members of that trio hail from the United States, Mexico, and Colombia. Now, that's part of the reason why they have that Latin rhythm mixed in with the sound of the classic songs Lullaby of the Leaves and Lullaby of Birdland. They call that a lullaby medley mashup. And the vocalist that you heard joining with La Lucha was born in Japan but raised in Venezuela. Like I said, jazz in the 21st century, an international art form. And our special guest on this edition of VOA's Jazz America, Gary Burton, has been all over the world, so much so that he is the perfect judge to compare USA jazz fans with those from around the world.
This comes up frequently as a point of discussion. There's no doubt that jazz has become very international. that it's one of the most widely popular forms of music now in the world, and it is identified by other countries as being a very American thing. I think it might be unfair, though, to say that it gets more respect in Europe or in Japan or something than it does here. It's a different kind of audience dynamic. But the people who say to you jazz is gets more respect in Europe are those musicians who haven't been successful in the U.S. but have been in Europe. There are other types of musicians that have been successful in the U.S. as well as Europe, and I think they would be more likely to say it's not that it's any less appreciated here. It's our society is structured a little differently, and it manifests itself in a different style. And frankly, if I had to make a choice about where I would tour, if I could only tour one culture in the world, I would tour here. There's this sort of, you know, assumption that because the style of being a fan in Europe is to be very up on the history of the music and, you know, to treat it almost as a classical yes. kind of thing, that, you know, doesn't mean a whole lot to us. Mm-hmm. They know more than we do about who we played with in early groups and what tunes were on which records. That doesn't matter. The reason we don't remember all those details is just that those are unimportant. What counts is how you relate to how the audience relates to you and you relate to the audience. And frankly, to me, the audiences here are every bit as fun to play for as the European and the Japanese and or anywhere else that we play. And after all, this is home.
Gary Burton from his latest release with his new quartet, featuring Julian Lage on guitar, Scott Colley on the bass, and Antonio Sanchez on the drums. The song called The Lookout from Gary Burton's quartet record, Guided Tour, his latest work. And it won't be his last. Of course, 7-time Grammy Award winner Gary Burton should be an NEA jazz master at this point in history, in my humble opinion, and will be in the future. You can count on it. This is Russ Davis. Thanks for listening. Here's a little taste of international jazz from another gentleman who would be celebrating a birthday if he were around today. Back in 1908, the legendary Stefan Grappelli was born on the 26th of January. Here he is with Barney Kessel on guitar, recorded in Paris in 1989, doing Limehouse Blues on Jazz America from VOA 1.
You're listening to Jazz America with Russ Davis here on the Voice of America. Thank you.
That uplifting song with a Latin feel comes from the Pat Metheny Group album Letter from Home. It's called Better Days Ahead. Pat Metheny, of course, a longtime associate. Our special guest this week, Gary Burton. We wish him a very happy 72nd birthday. This is Russ Davis. Thanks for joining me for Jazz America. On the next edition of the program, features Miles Davis and his effect on two of the living legends of jazz keyboards today, Chick Corea and Herbie Hancock. Herbie and Chick will talk about how Miles Davis led them to electric jazz and their sound and style, as well as the sound of jazz, was changed forever. That's next week on Jazz America on VOA1. Thanks for joining me, and join me then, won't you?